is hereby reconvene into regular open session of council at
6:32.
6:32 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 25-142, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held on April 1st, 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit to work towards truth and reconciliation. We're back at open session, so we'll do the roll call once again.
Councillor Morley Haskin.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Mike Eckman.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton. Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Ward. Any declarations of pecuniary and a personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none, we'll move on to delegations and presentations. We have 11.1, the third annual McKellar Amateur Rib Competition for July the 6th, 2025. I think we have representatives here who would speak to it.
Yes, good evening, Your Worship and Council. I'm Axie Lyle, for the record. Axie, A-X-Y, Lyle, L-A-I-G-H-L. I'm here on behalf of our committee, and to start, I'd like to express our thanks and gratitude. I think we've met with success the last 2 years. We seem to be building on our successes, and that's in no small part to the support of council. We truly appreciate everything from the site to the assistance of staff and every other way that the township has supported us. I think in the package in front of you, there should be an undated letter from me, but it, in fact, was forwarded on March 12th. Gives the details of our event this year. It's taking place on July 6th. That's a Sunday. The event will be open to the public from 4 to 6, but we will be on site from probably 8 in the morning, you know, setting up, and then takedown will be until around 9 or 9:30. We do also partially cook our ribs on site on the Friday and Saturday. And again, that's with the support of council. So there's also a draft site plan in front of you and an application for an exemption to the noise bylaw. Those are my comments. And again, we're extremely grateful for all the support the township has given. It's been 2 years of building on the successes and learning from mistakes, and I think we're gathering momentum.
Okay, great. Well, maybe the questions from council. We certainly appreciate what you've done, and to start this up and to keep it going, and we expect you'll keep it going as long as the Agricultural Fall Fair, 150 years.
So. Yeah. You're there for the last one, yeah.
The 150th, yeah. Well, we're actually hoping if they accept our gesture. We're hoping to sell a commemorative mug with a specially brewed beer for the Agricultural Society. Mm. So fingers crossed, you might see that up there this year.
Great. Councillor Kagan?
So yeah, this has been a great event, and it's always amazing how many different volunteer groups are there participating in it, and enjoyed by many. The one thing I didn't notice, I look back at the first application for the Rib Fest, and you're under the umbrella of the MLCA. Is that who the insured is for the event as well?
Yes, it is the insured, but the township is added as an additional insured.
Okay, so yeah. This is insured under the MLCA umbrella, and the township named as an
additional. Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And I provide each year a certificate of insurance.
Okay, thank you. That's the only question. Thank you.
Okay. And I will just add, though, the certificate of insurance, ever since COVID, they have been processing applications as if they're putting out fires. So it's the events that are happening tomorrow that get their certificates today, kind of a thing. So I don't expect to actually have my hands on a certificate until Friday, but I'm certain we'll be granted the policy.
Great, thank you.
Okay, any further questions from council? Any comments, questions from the public? And open it up. Okay, well, great, thank you. We've got resolution 25-143, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Axie Lael, co-chair of the McKellar Amateur Group Competition Committee. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 25-144, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby move into Committee of the Whole at 6:38 p.m. to discuss the 2025 budget version 2. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. And we have our treasurer online, not feeling that well, so couldn't be here in person, but I thought what we maybe do with the, and I think copies of the budget were available.
Yes.
People look at anybody in person, and if anybody online, and we refer to certain pages, I think they could be called up to if we need to. I thought maybe, Roshan, if you feel up to it, we could just start with a little preamble on some of the major changes, I guess, to the previous budget meeting and the meeting we had on the ventures.
Thank you very much, Mayor and the Council, for giving me an opportunity to present the second draft of 2025 budget. After going through three budget meetings, we went through in detail, and after that we finalized the number. The new levy amount is 4,486,045.31, and the levy bill rate is 5.65%. Overall impact on our tax bill is 4.50. The major changes with the first draft are, the operating revenue side, the surplus change, and the recreation committee, the revenues also changed. They provided the budget amount after the first draft, so it was revised and included in this draft. On the operating expense side, the transportation department, the one debenture we talked about the Hurdle Road, that if we approved and, we received that interest, 3.60, then the payment will be 179,948. This is a new item in the expense side, operating expense side in transportation department. And the bridge and culvert studies, the previous amount was 9,000, the revised amount is 18,000. On page 3, if we can talk about the external levies, previously I didn't have the exact amount, so now it's revised. The new levy amount for land and ambulance also increased by 3.880. The levy for district levy sound service so administration social board is also increased by 4.24%, and the levy for Belvedere Heights decreased by 0.17%. Recreation committee budget, also as I mentioned earlier, that I got the budget number after the first draft, so the The revised budget, revised expenditure for the recreation committee is $12,300. Chumney Center salary and benefits also revised. On the capital budget side, in capital revenue side, the remaining balance from the Canada Community Building Fund, which we didn't use it, is included this budget, is $50,199.66. Application submitted to fund the Hartwell Road. The loan amount is $3 million. And to support the baseball field, to get the land, we are moving the $45,000 from the Parkland Fund to help us to purchase the section of the land for the baseball field. On the capital expense side, fire department radio tower expenses increased from $150,000 to $180,000, and the cost of mini pumper increased from $400,000 to $409,075. On the public work transportation department, the cost of hardware road is increased from $1.1 million to $3,873,617.53. The budget for baseball field is also increased by $60,000, which included the acquisition of the parcel of land, as well as the associated legal and surveying cost. Estimated reserve, the balance would be at the year end will be $1,157,116.08. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I think what we can do, maybe I'll just turn it over to council first of all, and then to staff. You might have some comments, and then to the public. But if council has particular questions, and I believe, Roshan, you have the budget in front of you that. If we
yes.
reference certain pages, and, okay. So I'll turn it over to council. I have a few different questions, but I'll leave it out to the council first. Councilor Ryan?
Roshan, can I just ask on page 3, where you have the interest and principal on the debenture, which is $35,000 and change, is that the debenture for the pool, if you want to use those words? It wouldn't be the new debenture, right? It would be the old one, is that correct?
That's the for the truck at page number 3, 35,632.
Yeah.
That's for the fire truck, which is will be paid off in first quarter of 2026.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense too. That's better. And on the same page, telecommunication service, internet, web, etc. We've got a 15.78% decrease in charges. Is there a reason for that decrease? I'm sure there is, but I don't know what that is. So, in other words, we went from the actuals in not a whole lot of difference there, but certainly for the proposed budget for 2024, we had 11,280, and now we've got 9,500. It's about halfway down that page.
Yeah, I think the cost of service provider is reduced. That's why the overall cost is also reduced.
But is that in part related to the library being able to use our Starlink? Is that I'm asking a question. I don't know the answer. I'm just curious. But
I think the service provider. ExploreNet, the cost of that one is reduced.
Okay.
That's why, and if you look at the actual, it was last year 10,000. So, and that's other factor, I reduced the budget for that one too.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to know
that was okay.
Is that because we canceled the VNet?
That's correct, we're no longer using VNet.
I just had a couple of questions. We sometimes try to raise some revenue so that we don't have to increase taxes. And in the past, there was discussion of the sale of municipal property. Has anything been done in regards to looking into the sale of any municipal properties?
Not currently.
And then there was mention of that we'd be receiving some rental fees for the 40-yard bins at the transfer station because of the change to the new Blue Box program.
So we're currently in discussions with Circular Materials because we're coming out of the transition period. So things will be changing January 1st, 2026. So we are in discussions, but nothing's been set in stone quite yet.
Okay, thank you.
Are you able to share information about what those discussions are with the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee? Or I'm not asking you to break any rules, I'm just asking you if you are able to share.
No, it's all public information, but the township will have to determine what we are going to do with our ineligible recycling materials in the future.
Okay. I mean, if you can provide it, if you would, I would appreciate it, or the committee would appreciate it. So.
Yeah, maybe I can attend your next meeting.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
I think along that line, too, it'd be useful. It's on page 20, I think, of the budget. It may be confusing to the public the way this, how we're transitioning and the different figures that are there. I think you're touching on it now with the recycling contract and the waste hauling contract. Those figures are bouncing around by quite a bit. So it's a whole new system now. Is that what, so the public could understand why the figures are changing?
Within the transition, the township is collecting at our transfer station eligible material from residences and commercial businesses. Circular Materials is responsible for hauling now. They do compensate the township because we staff the transfer station and have expenses within collecting recyclable material. This will all change in 2026 when the township will be given a new agreement. As to what the particulars are with that new agreement, I'm unsure yet, and the compensation rate will change. So that's why you've seen fluctuations within the budget over the last couple years, and they will continue to do so until after our transition period.
And if there are any further questions on that, you're available in the office. Councillor Keckner.
So on page 3, right at the top, insurance. So that's the municipal insurance policy. So the proposed budget for 2025 is $121,000, and the estimated actuals in 2024 were $114,000. So is that because you're estimating an increase on our policy premium?
Yes, I'm expecting at least 10% increase, but that's the estimated. Even the our insurance provider, they didn't give me the any numbers, but they are expecting that insurance cost will up at least 10%.
I'm just wondering if that's enough, if council considers to schedule any specific bridges with the insurance policy in the upcoming year. We received an excellent presentation last council meeting from Intact Public Entities and the broker, and it made it very clear that it would seem it's a reasonable and a responsible possibility to schedule some of the bridges at a very small cost to the municipality. Just want to make sure that that could be covered, that additional expense would be covered in that increase in the insurance line item.
The increase is not included in this cost because as of last meeting, the council didn't provide us any direction regarding the ensuring the remaining bridges. So, and there was no resolution. So, this number is pure based on the premium.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. It's and she was supposed to get back to us, I think, as well.
And she hadn't yet.
Right.
Well, basically.
So we're just going with the information that we have available now. You're right, being proactive, but we don't have much to work on at this point. So. I was wondering on the first page, I guess, I've always questioned this and just wondered what approach you used. It's near the bottom, it's 570 on page 1. It says surplus taken into revenue. Could you just explain to everybody what this surplus is? And if it's surplus left at the end of the year, is that counted into the revenue for the next year? I mean, mean, we used to do that certainly back in 2010 and previous to that. There was an accumulated surplus at the end of the year, and that was always factored into the revenue at the beginning of the next year. Do we have an actual line saying what our surplus is at this point? And is that surplus a result of the extra revenue from last year?
So basically, this surplus is extra revenue plus this year revenue, if there will be any. But basically, it's the right now it's carrying the surplus from previous year. And as of now, its surplus is not part of the revenue. It's part of the our balance sheet accounts, which shows the surpluses and the reserve. So that's pretty much all the general surplus is part of that reserve and surplus account.
Okay, I'm just, again, I need clarification that the surplus is not part of the revenue.
That's correct.
If it's money that's left over that wasn't spent, would that not be counted into the revenue in the next year?
No, unless specifically it was mentioned, because what happened, it's as like, just like any other firm, if there's a profit or surplus, then it goes back into the equity or the in the reserve account, a journal reserve account, and then it sits there unless we use it.
So it does show up then. I'm just wondering what our surplus is sitting at this point. Do we have any record of that, what the total is?
I don't have it up now.
Because I noticed throughout on different pages you have money taken from surplus and applied to different projects than that. So it would be nice to know the total surplus, I guess, that we're drawing from.
I will provide it in the next meeting. I don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's a fair point, because like you mentioned previously, any surplus at the end of the year would be accounted for as revenue in the following year. So, you know, if that's something that it helps alleviate any tax increases or the need to generate more revenue, then I think that's a fair way to utilize that money, because you know, we have reserve accounts for a lot of the different departments. So where is this surplus account? That's you know, is it in our financial information return, or where do we see that?
It's part of our financial statement. It's part of the you know, the balance sheet accounts where it says surplus. Reserve and balance and surpluses, that's part of that one.
Councilor Zulak.
So, Roshan, I'm just wondering, so if there's $346,000 in the surplus account, so does that mean that we could take that $346,000 and put like $100,000 in the roads reserve and $100,000 in another reserve at the end of this year? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, sorry, I didn't get your question.
So you're saying that we have $346,000 in a surplus, right, account?
Right.
So towards the end of this year, can we take, like, say, $100,000 out and put it in, like, the fire department reserve or the roads department reserve? Can we take that money and put it in different reserves?
Sure, we can if we didn't use it. Yeah.
So the money that is that's in 2024 reserve, if there is any, we could move it to different reserves now?
Right.
Okay, so you'll find out how much that is.
No, I will find out.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Ryan?
Roshan, on page 6, I mean, they're just questions. The expenses are quite small, but at the very top of the page, this is for the fire department administration. Item 41, it says fuel gas, where the estimated 2024 was 9,700 and change, and the proposed budget is $6,000, which is an awfully big change. And I assume there's some rationale for that, but I can't think of what it might be. I don't know if you know off the top of your head. But there's the same thing down below. On the R2 2014 Ford E350, and very similar accounts. We went from 9,600 to 6,000. So in both those cases, it's a reduction of 50%. There undoubtedly or likely is a very good reason. I just don't know what that would be.
Sorry, which line item?
On the top of page 6, where the budget number, if I got that right, is 153-141. Right?
Okay.
And we went from spending $9,768 into a budget of $6,000. And it just seems to me that's a remarkable change, and there could be a very good reason, but I don't know it.
I think the last year the Public Works Department used that their fuel. That's why it's higher.
Yeah, I remember that now. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good. Thank you. And the same thing would apply to the Ford E350, which is 10 lines down from there. And quite frankly, the dollar amounts are almost identical. But I mean, we went from 9,646 to 6,000. I mean, again, it seems to me that that would make sense, and I know that I remember that being discussed at the council meeting.
That's, again, you know, I think you're talking about the line 153-209.
Yes, sorry. I'll refer to them that way from now on. My apologies. So.
Yeah, that's a cost, maintenance cost, and, repairing the 2014, that's the cost they had last year.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Craig. So just back to the surplus taken into revenue. So of this accumulated surplus that is in an account someplace, this year you're pulling out $346,220.21 and you're bringing that into revenue?
Correct.
Page 8, just for clarification for the public as well, for bylaw enforcement. Maybe Carly could explain how we went to contract, or we started with contract, then we went to employee, and now back to contract, just to explain the differences here.
So currently our bylaw enforcement officer is a independent contractor. She's not an employee of the township, so she invoices the township monthly for her retainer and hourly billing, so that will be coming out of that line item. And then also we are paying for some training she's taking, and you also see line items for mileage and other expenses.
And on page 9, I think Roshan, you may have touched on this already. It's right here at the bottom. It's 025 under administration expenses. You've got the two debentures. Could you just explain, identify the each one, the 192 and the 179?
192 is the amount for the Center Road, and the 179 is for the Hartwell Road.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Other questions from council?
This is a very general question, Roshan. I know you've given the explanations in the past, but in terms of particularly public works and or roads, can you tell us, I know that you've told me before, and I buy this, that when you get the timesheets from public works, that's how you decide which road in particular and which, you know, which budget that money comes from. But when you're doing planning like this, because you obviously don't have timesheets for them, how do you estimate what the budget for the next year, in this case for 2025, would be?
It all depends on the road superintendent. He will tell me that number of hours and the projects and where he's going to spend the man hour.
Okay. And I thought it would also be helpful for any members of the public that were listening, because there is quite a large number of sections in the budget based on roads and or equipment and things like that. So.
Correct.
Thank you.
Councilor Hoskins.
not necessarily a question, more a comment, is something that was brought up during this past year was the condition of the floor in the community center. And I believe that most of the council sort of thought maybe, yeah, it's getting close to maybe needing replacement. I'm just wondering, does council need to pass a direction for staff to come back with prices on that?
We are going to have a building study completed because this building is aging now, and just to plan for the future in the next couple of years, what maintenance is required. So the floor will be a part of that report.
Okay.
So the idea was that we would wait until the report.
Barney,
came.
I can't hear you.
Is that better now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's okay. I was just saying that the we're going to have a building study done, which will include the floor, so we can plan for the next couple of years as to maintenance for this building, and the floor would be a part of it. I believe that report will also estimate replacement costs as well, so we're just kind of waiting for that prior to starting the floor project.
Okay, that's fine. It's just so it'll probably won't happen this year then. It'll be another year, so
2026.
Because we obviously we didn't budget anything for the floor replacement. We would be, if it was to happen this year, then we'd have to draw out of reserves, and I'm afraid our reserves aren't that healthy for the community center to handle it. So I think we got to be careful going into the next year that we're going to have to a lot more to replenish this community center back to the way it should be, because it's I believe it's got to be in close to 35 or 40 years old.
Yeah, built in the early 90s.
Yeah. So, okay, just thought I'd ask that it's being looked into, or we're preparing.
Just to follow up to Morley's question,
sure.
Did that form part of the asset management plan?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And is there a general update on the asset management plan, and when we expect, and when what we expect?
I did hear from Infrastructure Solutions today after many attempts to get in contact with them, so we are setting up a meeting.
Yeah, I just thought at our meeting when we had discussed the flooring that we had decided to go ahead. Was
okay.
That? No? I thought we decided that it needed it, and that, you know, see what prices we could get and stuff. Am I wrong?
Well, we didn't really put a direction on the table at that meeting. We did discuss it and realize it needs to be done, but obviously Carly has been looking, you know, getting prepared for it, but
it's just, it's so terrible.
Yeah, I'm just as unsure as to what
yeah.
other issues the building has, so instead of looking at it on an individual basis, we kind of want to get a broader
yeah.
picture as to what repairs need to be done, and then we can fund the reserves accordingly.
Yeah, I just don't want it to go on like the kitchen did for 10 years.
Almost beyond repair.
Yes.
It's beautiful now, though. On the positive side, I just wanted to stress that. So,
on page 19, this is down below under waste management. It's 143 maintenance costs and parts. That seems to jump up a fair bit. I'm just trying to recall, was the proposal something to be done in there for maintenance that would be increased up that high? It was 2,700, and then for a few years nothing, and now it's 8,400.
So, initially last year or year before, previously we never budgeted the or we didn't have any 45 in the waste, you know, the transfer station. So we starting to have it from last year. One of the cost is for that, you know, the, having the portable washroom, and other one I think is for the. Doors for the, or gate for the transfer station need to be changed or replaced. I think that's the extra cost of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. The gate is in rough shape, yes. Councilor Zula?
So you're talking about the gate where we go in that's bent? I thought the company was going to fix that.
Don't know, we haven't heard.
Is the other gate damaged? Like, is there two gates?
Well, there's the big one down at the bottom that slides, right?
Right.
But the one that you actually go into you know, the entrance, it's up, somebody smashed into it. And
And we have contacted Waste Connections about that, but I believe the funds were for...
For the one at bottom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Councilor Beckman.
So I think all three gates need to be repaired, even the one, the exit gate on the left-hand side, that one's damaged as well.
And page 23, and this is maybe more for Councilor Haskin, for recreation, I noticed, and they're not great amounts, but you have 129, it's, well, they're all 129, but for special events, 3,500, is there any, maybe there was outlined in the budget, I'm not sure, what special events are being planned? Or?
Yes, sir. Yeah, there was three special events. And right offhand, I think one is a cafe night that we're going to have in July. Another one was a broadband to get together at the Broadbent Bald Island. And I know we're not having any dances or the murder mystery, we dropped them. So there's one other item, and I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, 2 out of 3, that's pretty good. On 24, page 24, this is for parks and facilities, in the rink in particular. I'm just wondering about 131 talks about skating rink maintenance for $13,000, and then down below, install new glass, but there's no figure there. Is that part of the maintenance? I know we've been working on installing the glass for a couple of years now. If it actually gets done, that's great.
So basically now the installing the new glass is part of the skating rink maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm interested too in the Balsam Trail. I haven't been out the last little while, but I know when it was put in there over a decade ago, talked about refurbishment looked at each year. I'm not sure if that's being done. And so it talks about maintenance of the Balsam Trail. I'm just wondering if $1,000 is really enough, if any maintenance is being done, or there should be done. And I know we leave that for the public works superintendent to explain that, but I'm just wondering if anybody has been out there recently, you know, what shape it is in, whether it needs, like the person who actually installed it, I don't think he was looking for extra work. I think he'd gone from the area, but said that it needs maintenance almost on a yearly basis. Keep it, you know, functional. Otherwise, it's going to overgrow because it's just a walking path as such. And maybe we can put that to the public works and see what can be done. Councilor Kekin?
On that same page, so it's page 24 and it's 360, 134, Brownlee Clubhouse Maintenance. So that hasn't been on the in the township's possession for probably close to 10 years now.
There's no figure there, but it could be removed as a line item. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Was there or is there a clubhouse there?
Yeah, there's a nature group that took ownership of it.
Okay.
Any other specific items from council? I'll put you on the spot. You can always come back to something. Councilor Kiker?
Just, you know, if there is a possibility for any work, I don't know if the public works have time to do any work on Hardy's Road, just because that's going to, it's deteriorating quite extensively, so... And we do hear from them quite regularly, people on Hardy's Road. So just one thing for consideration, if it can fit anywhere in here.
I think that's valid. Went back through in October 2023, we had the five-year plan in place. And for 2024, it was suggested that we look at Hardy's Road from Birdville Road into Lindsay Lane. And that should be... resurfaced, and that was for 2024. Now, we obviously didn't get to it, but I'll look at the budget here on page road studies, Hardy Road, for $10,000. And I tend to agree with Councillor Kekkonen saying that we should be doing more than just a study. That's been around for a while. Public Works has recommended that it be completed at least into Lindsay Lane, and we should put that in the budget to look at for this year. And I'm going to throw this out too, just as one way of compensating for that. Council already hadn't agreed to some of the requests for the fire department, and I know it's in here. And I guess if we're trying to balance here for priority items, is a road in that particular area more important than, say, the fire tower that is in the budget? Whether the fire tower could be left for another year and look at more pressing. That's why we've gone on to Herdville Road, for instance, and decided to do the whole road as opposed to just from Herdville up to Burnett's Road. Decided to do the whole road and actually go through debenture because grants aren't available. And I'm thinking here, if we could do, rather than just a study on Hardy's in that far, that we actually look at resurfacing that section and maybe leave the tower at this point. Because the tower itself, I mean, you're looking at dismantling the one that exists, building a new one in a new location. That's not a small project, and I'm wondering if we should, again, maybe even go to the public with something like that. This is a major undertaking with a new tower. So I'll just throw that out there for council to consider, and I know we should talk about it as council. Councillor Kekkonen?
And if there's this surplus account sitting with a certain amount, and if there's a possibility to draw that into revenue for Hardy's Road, and if the tower isn't a project for this year, it might be a doable project.
Other thoughts from Council?
Yeah, I think that's something to look into. I think it's something we should talk to Tom about. I'm just wondering our staff's time, whether with the doing so much of the Herdville Road, whether they'll even have time to do anything on the Hardy's Road. I was glad to see the 10,000 there, get our study done and be prepared to do it the year after. And I unfortunately see a lot of people that live in Hardy's, and they do complain to me quite often, but I was feeling satisfied. I could say to them, okay, we put 10,000 aside, we're going to do every of the studies to require what needs to be done, and then it's going to be on the top of the priority list for the year after. I felt going forward I was okay with that, but if I can certainly agree to the fact that maybe we look at deferring a couple other projects, and if we can actually physically do Hardy's Road this year. So that would be a question for Tom. Whether
well, it'd be contracted out again, I would think, as opposed to the township doing it. Again, as you say, we have to talk to the Public Works Superintendent and see what he says, but it has been put off, and as I said before, in the five-year plan, we recommended that it be done last year. So, again, we can put it off for another year, but then I'm a little worried about the other projects that will crop up next year, and where does it fall in that situation?
Yeah, that's where we kind of need the asset management plan to see where the priorities is the next in line, and or is there another road that's going to hit the exact same time? You know, what kind of trouble are we going to get into financially as we go forward? So, and realistically, probably Hardy's is going to be $500,000 hit. So whether between what's sitting in surplus and the savings of the tower, whether that will even touch it. So, but that's information we should get, I guess.
Yes, that's what I said. I didn't want to. Now we're looking at two readings tonight after we have input from
right.
the public.
Mm-hmm.
And just didn't want a situation where we left it again and the people in there wondering, well, when is it going to be done? And I had mentioned at the time, too, that there were certain roads that were hard-topped throughout the township over the years, and some were done twice, and others haven't even been done. Now, I know there was a surface in there, but that surface has deteriorated over the years. And I remember back, it was over a decade ago, when the road superintendent had put in surfacing to a certain extent just to get in there, mainly for dust control, and to keep the road preserved. He'd only got in, he did, let's see, that was one, Maplewood on Hardee's, and he also did one in Lakeside, and he also did the one in McKellar Lake Road, just down to over the hill. Now, since then, of course, McKellar Lake Road has been completed into the end, and I'm just wondering, we can get some figures from Tom, I guess, on the actual cost. I don't think it would interfere with the other projects necessarily, and it may actually be in conjunction with those other projects, depending on who bids on them. Mm-hmm. It could be done at the same time, but you're right, the cost, we'd have to look that over. But I just didn't want to finalize this, and it's unfortunate, Public Works Superintendent, right? He's away at the Good Roads Conference right now. He's not here to speak to that. We had asked him at the previous meeting, you know, your other list of needs and your wish list sort of thing, and he was going to go around with a representative from, which company was it?
Miller
Paving, was it? Yeah. And he was going to look at some of the other roads, as you said, so we wouldn't be surprised if something had to be done. But unfortunately, all of that's, we can't deal with it right now because that has yet to be completed. But I just throw that out there, is the tower a priority over our roads? And I know for fire department, we're trying to improve with the vehicles and the scuba gear and different things that they require legislatively and for their own safety, and whether the tower can wait, perhaps. Councillor Zuak.
So, if we do the first and second reading, and then we have time before the next meeting, we could just have a discussion with Tom.
Right.
And see, you know, and also with Roshan, we'll find out how much is in the reserve and how much they would figure it would cost to do Hardee's Road, and maybe we could, Roshan could do up a rough with that included.
That sounds good. Councilor Peck.
I think we have to emphasize that when we're talking about Hardee's Road, it's not from Hurdville Road to Lindsay Lane. It's, like you had mentioned, specifically from Harris Road to just before Lindsay Lane. It's a difference, I think the whole stretch is 1.4 kilometers, and just that little section that needs to be done, which they specifically mentioned when they're complaining about it, is I think it's about 0.6 kilometers.
Right, because that's one thing that he had surfaced into Harris's, as you said, before, and I assume it's held up already, so it's that corner. We mentioned the one other corner, too, that really throws a wrench into all this, in at Stewart Park. That tends to deteriorate, too, on that one corner. Now, again, that's something we can look at. Tom would have to comment on whether it's something perhaps the township could do themselves to repair that somewhat. But it just keeps eating away, and it's very similar set up there as they go around the corners. And, yeah, you're right. It wouldn't be the full length necessary from her to go right in.
And that stretch of Center Road, basically from Lees Road to Hurdville Road, it's 95% of it's good except for the one corner that you're talking about. So it would be a good proactive approach to at some point fix that corner, micro-seal the whole stretch of Center Road from Lees to Hurdville Road, and to avoid a massive expense, you know, such as $1.5 to $2 million possibly, compared to just micro seal, which I don't know, just a wild guess, maybe $200,000. Mm-hmm. And fixing that corner, that's probably asphalt, so that however much it would be to fix that one corner.
Yeah, because it looks like it's got a fair chunk worse since last year. Mm-hmm. It's really bad where you're having to really avoid the bad bumps and that. So. Yep, another one for Tom to bring forth with the comments.
Yeah, Roshan's still with us. getting a little nervous there.
The money's gone. That's all he wants to say.
The average cost, I think, of what I heard from the Tom is roughly around $300,000 per kilometer to reconstruct and pave the road. So I don't know, maybe that's the way, maybe we are looking at least 500,000, 500 to 600,000.
Yeah, unless it's the shorter distance that Councillor Kekkonen talked about. What was the distance?
So the full distance is 1.4 kilometers.
Oh, okay.
But I measured the section that they're concerned about, and I believe it was 0.6 kilometers.
0.6, okay. So we've come down from that 300 and some thousand, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay.
study, which I know is whatever, I think at least 3 years old, but it does break down each road into segments, or at least each big road into segments, and had both an estimated timing and some, I believe, some estimated costs. And again, I know it's old and out of date, but it may be worthwhile to look at that just to kind of figure out, is there something else that we should at the very least evaluate? And again, I'm not trying to postpone anybody, but I mean, we should look there, because after a fashion, what they produced is an asset management plan for roads at that time. And again, I know it's dated and I know it's not up to date, but it's something. And at least then we could look and see what did they say, and then if there's a couple other roads that might be in play, have a look and then try and make a decision and find a solution that works. But I go back to the Miller presentation too. If we could microseal instead of, you know, and resurface rather than simply do the foundation and the asphalt and everything else, that might be a way that we could manage to do this. If we put all those pieces together, I think we can make something out of this work. So
yeah, just one caution on the road's needs. I mean, we can take each road apart, as you say, as they've done. Their priorities would not necessarily be this township's priorities, mm-hmm. because a lot of the ones they said that need the most work and that cost the most are the roads that are very seldom traveled.
Yeah.
And so we have to look carefully at what they produced for
all
us.
All I'm saying is that it's something, and it's better than us just frankly guessing on the roads, right? So,
yeah.
And at the very least, if there's some other roads that seem to be an equal priority, we could look at them and decide, you know, what do we think? And I'm not presupposing any answer, just that, you know, we should take a little bit of a broader approach so that we don't find a surprise. We did this, and now we've got this other project that's going to cost us even more money the next year or the year after that, so... Right, and there is some value in those documents, and there's many different spreadsheets in there. So,
anything else from council? Okay,
that third special event was Ball Diamond Grand Opening.
Oh yes,
okay. That makes sense.
May I make a couple of comments?
Sure.
Yes.
We're on the staff now. Yes, good.
I just wanted to make mention that. If Hardy's Road is to continue as a project for this year, the $300,000 may just cover resurfacing. We are unsure as to the condition of the base of the road, so I think it would be advantageous to have Bob Hughes do the engineering prior to us kind of putting a budget figure to it. Once the budget's passed, we can move forward with him proceeding with the engineering right away. It could only take a couple weeks, so we'd be in better shape as to know what actually the road needs. It may just not be a resurfacing issue, it may be a base. Secondly, with regards to the fire department capital projects, if one were to be dropped, I don't want to speak for the fire chief, but with conversations with him, I would assume that the truck would be less of a priority than the fire tower. He's received reports that the tower is in dire shape, and it is their current infrastructure is how they communicate within the department. So I believe the tower would be a higher priority than the truck. So if council is looking to withgo one of the fire department's projects, I feel that we should be passing a resolution this meeting so that the treasurer has something to go on as well, just because we need to make some of these decisions now before we move forward.
Now that's interesting to hear, good to hear. Just presentations from a fire chief, but I sort of got the other impression that they had backup plans for the tower and that they needed this new vehicle. So,
and since then, backup plans have come in. So one of them was getting on Bell's Tower near Lorimer Lake Road, and that is just way out of budget for the township. I believe, don't quote me, but it was about $8,000 to $12,000 per month to be on Bell's Tower, so obviously it's more cost-wise beneficial for us to have our own tower, so that's fallen through.
Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Councilor Peck.
I believe he had another backup plan. The Bell plan wasn't even part of the conversation initially when he had said that he does have another backup plan, so I'm just wondering if we can get clarification on from him directly, you know, what is the backup plan? Not just there's a backup plan, but what is the backup plan? It seemed like there was some specific plan when Bell wasn't even part of the conversation.
I think he was alluding to a backup plan in case of emergency, not one that would be a solution moving forward. We have been in discussions with NetSpectrum as they have, they're on the tower at Olson Road currently. We're working with them to try to do a cost sharing agreement for a new tower. We haven't worked out the logistics of that yet. We're waiting for their CEO to return from vacation, but we're hoping to do a cost sharing agreement. So we're leaving the money in the budget for the tower, but hoping that we wouldn't have to pay all of it. So from my understanding, I believe the tower is more of a priority for the fire chief. But again, I'm speaking on his behalf and I'm not him, but.
Because I think I asked him specifically, if the tower went down today, would you have a plan to be able to accommodate the communications? And he said yes.
I believe that's a temporary, like he would have a backup plan, obviously, so that communications weren't down within our township. Is it sustainable? Most likely not.
Yeah, it's just difficult for us to give direction tonight through a resolution other than to say that both projects are not going ahead. But I'm not sure what kind of money we have, you know, left, whether it's the 400 some thousand for the mini pumper or whether it's the 180,000 for the tower. I think it's quite a difference here.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if we're even in a position tonight to make a decision. And I know what you're saying. We need to change it to the budget. And I know, Roshan, cover your ears on this one, but I mean, if it takes a bit longer than April 15th to finalize the budget, that's fine. I mean, often it's in June even, so we're trying to do it earlier, and we realize that some townships have passed theirs, but I see nothing wrong with the 1st of May if we try to get this resolved, and we actually get some projects underway, do some of the background, the research. We hear from the fire chief in person that he's not perhaps going to get both, which would he prefer, and then we can come up with more exact figures. There's nothing saying, I mean, we seem to be rushing to this April 15th deadline, which worries me a little bit when we're talking this much money in these many projects. And I'm not sure that we have to follow that particular deadline. Councillor Keck.
So we might require another special meeting sometime in the interim?
That's always a possibility, yes. I know we tried a different approach this time, and because I think that Roshan had mentioned that usually the operating doesn't change an awful lot, it's more of the capital that we have to investigate, and so that's why we had the debenture look too, knowing that we couldn't do many of the projects without debenturing. But perhaps another one to finalize everything, yes. Harley, I know you're going to say something.
I would like to say something regarding the budget. If we further delay the budget, some of the item, the cost of the some of the item will increase, and you can see, I can give you example of the pumper. When we started the budget, it was 400,000, and now it's 409. And you know, I'm not sure what will be price in month or 2 months. So again, other things also like a gravel, calcium, and other things we normally buy, and normally other township start buying in January, February, and we already in crossed the March and in April now. So you know, the things will be starting expensive when we go out and buy them in the market.
Okay, fair enough. Councillor Ryan?
I'm just reminding you that Jen is here. Could we have her
talk
yes. about the...
Well, what we're doing, we're talking, staff was next, and then
okay.
The public, as I mentioned. So, yeah, we don't want to hold Jan up here, but if that's okay, we'll see what we can do with these other projects, and we'll put those aside for now. And Jan, you wanted to speak to the market, and that's fine.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Weber.
We'll need the microphone, I guess. So.
Yeah, it's on. Thank you, Mayor Moore and Council. There, is that better?
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay? Okay, thank you once again, Mayor Moore and Council. It's a pleasure to be here. I got a late invitation today, and I thought, you haven't seen me for a long time, so I thought I should come and show my face. And let you know what I've been up to since last year. So the McKellar Market is scheduled to reopen on June 28th at Minerva Park from 10 to 1 at our usual hours. Plans for Canada Day are complete, and if we had to open today, I'd be ready. So that's a good thing. All of the musicians, all of the special events are planned. And so we're good to go in that regards. And as for the revenues generated, it never ceases to amaze me how the McKellar market always exceeds my expectations. And so today, as of today, we have raised $22,095, and that's a remarkable increase from 2016 when we used to have $2,000 for a whole year. So anyhow, yeah, so we're on target. I have registered 95 vendors to date. We have spaces open for Christmas and Thanksgiving, which will generate more revenue for the budget. And the Thanksgiving market, I'll make note, it's always Thanksgiving weekend, and I get questioned if it's at Minerva Park quite often. Yes, we do stay in the park for Thanksgiving market, and the Christmas market will relocate it, and it will come up to the community center. And I've spoken with the library staff to our partnership again. So getting to the land use permit. Okay, so Carly was kind enough to send off a letter to the MTO on behalf of the McKellar Market requesting if we would need a land use permit again this year. And we received word, Carly, last week that yes, in fact, we do have to get a land use permit. So all of the requirements of that market, of that permit will be in place for opening day with regards to our obligation, with regards to parking, etc. And special note that the land use permit is at no charge to the Township of McKellar. It's just a formality. And to make sure that we continue to enforce all of the regulations that they want us to enforce. So we're obliging to that. Okay. And what else do I have to say? That's really about it. I just wanted to, I was invited, Carly, thank you very much, and Nick, just to come and speak to you and haven't seen everybody for a long time. So, anyhow.
Did you want to mention the opening speaker for that?
Yeah, so I've extended a, through Carly, I extended a greeting to Mayor and Council if we could have representation from the officials here at the Township of McKellar. It would be great if I could see all of you guys there. So I'll leave that with you, and that is... we do have some special guests invited. We haven't confirmed quite yet, eh, Carly, but we may have that as well. We always do a ribbon cutting ceremony, and that market is very exciting. People are excited to be back at the market. And I should make note that the McKellar Market has really spread its wings. Like, we have vendors coming from Toronto this year. They signed up full time. We have vendors from all over actually coming to the McKellar Market. So there's a vast variety of selection, even more so this year, and more food this year. So, yeah. So food's always good, music's always good, and the support of Mayor and Council is fantastic. It's appreciated by our vendors and myself. And if you have any questions, I'd be like to answer them for you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I mean, it's been quite a change over the years, certainly, in what you've made it.
Yeah.
And it's becoming recognized. We have a question here from the public. Yes.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Just for people online, could you use the microphone?
Oh, yeah. Tom King, Kate's Island. The parking.
Yes.
On the highway.
Yes.
Somebody's going to get popped there one day.
Actually, we've taken control of that. Your name is, sorry?
King's Island.
Todd
King.
Todd, okay. Yeah, we've partnered up with, like, the MTO we've been down this road many times. The MTO has put together a safety plan for the McKellar Market. I continue to follow that safety plan for the best interests of our ratepayers, our visitors to the park, and also to our vendors for setup.
Okay, so who's going to police this?
Okay, so, okay, the McKellar Market has wonderful volunteers that are on duty the entire market, and I think Councillor Ryland can speak to that.
It's a challenge.
Do they have any authority?
That's true. I mean,
you're trying to promote it about what's that role?
Okay, before we go much further, people online, I'm sure, can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
You have to speak
into the mic. Yeah, you go up the corner by Kevin Ward's store there. You can't make a left turn on that road because your car parked all the way up. Mm-hmm. And I know.
Well, that's one of the things we've run into. That's one of the things we've run into, I think, with MTO. Put in the no parking right in front of the park, and then people can park as close to the park as they can get across the bridge. They can park all the way along. So MTO is not being consistent with this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And there is a safety problem, yes.
I know, because I almost hit somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, I could solve it. This phone will repeat the dispatch.
The highway is under the OPP jurisdiction, and they can enforce the parking, but as the Township of McKellar and the McKellar Market, those signs are not enforceable, so it lies in the hands of the MTO.
Okay. I mean, it's like the bridge up there where, what's his name, fire guy got popped. All of a sudden they got a railing. Are we going to wait till somebody gets?
Okay, so to further this conversation, I visit the Fall Fair, and it's exactly the same. So it's not just the McKellar Market or any special events that goes on in this township. It's just that we live on 124, and and we as the McKellar Market, we do our best to enforce what we're allowed to enforce, and we do put up signs, no parking along the shoulder of the highway, mm-hmm. and at the request of the MTO, and we try our best to make it, I've been at the park for 10 years doing this market, and my husband does his dual, works hard at the traffic flow as well.
What about the bylaw?
Okay, I'm thinking we're well beyond budget right now, so this is another whole issue, Mr. King, I think.
No, I'm saying, does he have any authority?
Well, I'm saying is this is really not our topic at this point. We're dealing with the budget, so if you want to make a deputation to council, I think that'd be great.
Yeah,
with your concerns.
Okay, just,
yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think that'd be the best way to do it.
Can I have one more thing, Doug?
If it's budget related, yes, go ahead.
Everyone takes on it. It's in the budget. Are you going to seal it this year?
I think it's in the budget. Yeah, I checked the brochure.
It's almost 3 years now, and it might go beyond sealing it.
Yeah, there's a certain optimum point, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question.
I'll be able to sleep now.
Okay. Right.
Okay, Jan, thank you for all you do, and I think you brought, giant strides certainly, and staying at that location is something I know you wanted to do, which you've been able to do, and we'll iron out the parking and things like that as problems arise. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank you.
Have a great evening.
Thank you. Now we're open to the public. We've dealt with council and staff, and the public has any particular concerns . Again, I'll ask you to use the microphone, and Roshan's still available to if there's specific questions you have for him. Yes, okay. To the mic, and we'll have your name.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor Moore, councilors, and staff. My name is Lawrence Rubin, and I've been a permanent resident here in McKellar for 18 months after cottaging here for many, many years. And we're enjoying it very much. You can follow the scope. I sent an email in advance, and Roshan, thank you. I know we've had some email conversation back and forth. I do appreciate the time you've taken. They're more process-related than line-specific items that I just would like to present my perspective. And as I declared my email, I'm not an accountant, but I do have multiple experiences, both profit and not-for-profit in the budgeting process. So very encouraged to see some great discussion and questions on the budget. I wasn't able to attend the first meeting, so I know I listened to that meeting, and I guess that's the first time that council sees that. Is there any direction to staff after that meeting of, you know, what direction to take? There was a projected levy of 7%, and I'm sure the chair did know that staff at that point say, what can we do to reduce that? Because I don't really see any significant differences in the operational budget from version 2 to version 1. So that was just, again, a question. I'm just trying to understand the overall process.
To answer that, what we decided to do, and I mentioned this before with Roshan too, that the operational doesn't change an awful lot over the year by year. So we thought with the capital in particular, and we, for the longest time, I guess, we didn't go the debenture route. We ended up doing it internally through reserves and other monies that we had. And then we decided at this point, one of our meetings mentioned that there aren't the grants available that used to be for bridges and that some of the major projects. So we have to look at the ventures. And it was suggested that we have a meeting just on that. And so Roshan came up with four different scenarios for debentures. And that was sort of our second budget meeting to look at capital. And that's why we haven't gone the usual route of another budget meeting as such, because then it gets into going through the same numbers over and over again. So this debenture is relatively new to us, and we want to get his perspective on that. And I guess that's, and even now we're not solidified yet on what we're going to do and what we're going to debenture and what we're not. Although the Herdville Road is pretty well a go, I think. That's what we've certainly submitted our application for. So that's sort of our second budget meeting of the debenture. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Like I said, I've seen more discussion tonight, so it's encouraging that there is perspective and encouragement and direction to staff as the process goes through. I know it is an extended process. Based off the conversation at the beginning of the meeting regarding the surplus into revenue, my perspective is I think the council would benefit from having an updated consolidated statement of financial position, balance sheet, in preparation for this meeting, because there you would see the surplus number and you would see it coming into the budget. And to be clear, Roshan, please correct me if I'm wrong, that money is used, if you use it for other purposes, you have to reduce your expenses by that amount or increase revenue by that amount, and that could be through other means or the tax levy. So it's not the $300,000 that's there to play with. It's in the budget to balance the budget, and that's where Roshan got to the 5.65 tax levy. So I just want, that's my perspective and clarity, that it's not funds that can be used now. If now come the end of the year, if there's still surplus funds, then council can decide, of course, how to direct that. So.
Yeah, and I think maybe Roshan can answer this too. For the consolidated financial statements, we don't even get those until late in the year. I think it's December.
That's correct. And, normally those are prepared by the auditors and based on the actual numbers. So including as a part of the budget, basically asking me to produce those, and that's really time consuming and based on the non-audited numbers, and that will definitely fluctuate. So that's why not most of the municipalities will include the consolidated financial statement. They normally focus on the revenue and expenses.
Right. Some of them have already set their budgets, a couple of the townships, and I'm sure they don't have their 2024 financial statements.
Correct.
And that's just the way it seems to operate. We're almost, well, you have to be sort of a year behind anyway to do that. And we had a hold up too with the statements, I think, this year because of the pool complex.
Yeah.
Some people weren't doing their fiduciary responsibility properly, and so everything was held up, and we had to pursue that to get the figures a little more quickly. So I think that's another problem. Budgets are set, some even set them in the fall in the larger urban centers. I don't know how they do it necessarily because we don't have the requests from the other branches of government who want money from the township. But I'm thinking that's another reason why, as you say, we can't necessarily go with those figures. And we've been at this. I personally have been at it for, how many years? close to 30 years now. And so this budget process actually works, but as I said, the benching is something new to us this year. And we have a pretty good feel, I think. We are spread out throughout the township what needs to be done. And the asset management plan, we have a couple in place, and we're trying to get the newest one up to date. So I think those help us as well to decide what projects need to be completed. And we go with the figures again that Rochamp provides for us. And his approach seems to have worked well, certainly to this point.
Okay, no, yeah. Thank you. I have different experiences based off my not-for-profit. They do quarterly balance sheet reviews, and I'm actually was quite surprised Municipal Act doesn't put any timing on budgets or audits for municipalities. I found that quite surprising. You know, the fact that you do it almost a full year later was surprising to me. But, the other comments I had, I think, Mr. Haskin, you mentioned a comment about concerns about the reserves. I don't have enough experience to know whether or not, you know, what's there at the end of 2025 or projected to be 25 is sufficient, or should we start to be of concern based off of potential capital requests coming forward? Because there's not a great view to the public of what they may be. So you've talked about the road assessment and the managed asset management plan, which I think helps council understand what future needs may be. So to understand is, you know, are we, you know, paying Peter to pay Paul, robbing Peter to pay Paul in terms of the balancing act? And what I don't understand, you made a comment today, is it appears that grants that governments gave previously are not as abundant as they used to be, which again just puts more pressure on any municipality that has a significant capital request. So I talked to Roshan, and I know it's work, but there may be some benefit of putting some estimate of future year budgets at a high level, then just to see whether or not, so council can understand what may be coming down the road. So is there something, and there's a lot of experience in this room, and you have, you know, great understanding of some of the needs. I'm trying to learn them as I attend the council meetings, and actually quite helpful because some of the comments that you brought forward to educate the public on, I knew because you mm-hmm. talked about them at the meetings. So, you know, it is helpful that way. But I think you may benefit from trying to have a little bit more of a forward look so that you can understand what, you know, risks and trade-offs you need to make now.
Yeah, one of the concerns, it happened a number of years ago now, and it's happened just recently, I guess, with Belvedere Heights too, that the reserves were real too high mm-hmm. to what they wanted. And municipal affairs came in the township too, and we ran into that same problem. There was a review of that. I'm aware of one particular township now that has a large reserve, and they're hearing it from the ratepayers too, that money should be spent, it shouldn't be kept in reserve. Yeah. And so there's a balancing act, as you say, how much do you keep in reserve? And I think as we come across more projects as well, for instance, doing all of Herdville Road, which requires redone, that changes our reserve, that changes a lot of the projects we were looking at. And it was on our five-year plan to be finished in 2028. He was going to do it in three sections at the time. And then we get thinking, well, rather than three different approaches at it and just do parts of the road, why not do the complete resurfacing? And so that would eat up some of the reserves as well. So you've seen the reserves going down, but they'll be replenished too, as you say. There'll always be other projects, and we just have to decide, can we go ahead with them this year or not?
Yeah, I mean, again, I just don't have the same exposure and experience to understand how long were the reserves that have currently been used for Center Road and now Herdville Road, how long did that take to build up? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we plucked out over $1 million of reserves to pay for the project. We had the debenture, the right action to take.
Yeah.
So it's just a concern saying, well, you know, I don't drive a lot of the roads in town. I sort of stick to my little neck of the woods. But, you know, hearing the discussion talk, is there's going to be concerns for the ratepayers going forward, you know, for to keep the roads in, you know, usable condition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's more and more traffic we're noticing, too. The population, I think Councillor Ryan referred to this, has increased in our own township. And if people are into trouble, this year we ran into it, too. There were low limits on one of the bridges, so our bridge was used more often. And just heavier use, and so the roads do deteriorate more quickly, and we have to plan for that too. So.
Okay. A couple more questions. I know we're on you. I hope you're feeling better soon. I have some other questions. They're not specific to the budget, and I'll table them separately with Roshan and Carly. On some of the line items, and discussed ahead with Roshan, is, you know, I fully support contingency planning and building a budget, certainly for areas that you can't easily predict, like maintenance and repair for the equipment of the township. But I sort of went through line by line and, you know, identified that there's, what do I have, 41 line items where, you know, we budgeted $200,000 more than we spent over the past 2 years. So that's just the data that I have, historical data. And in talking to Roshan, is, you know, a lot of that is around contingency, which I'm comfortable with, but just the process and the way it's done, I just feel that it's not as transparent. And an example is those 11 items, and they're small, a total of 30,000, but we continue to budget for areas where we don't have any expenses. Okay? Past 2 years, we've not spent any money, or any money hasn't been allocated to those line items, yet we continue to put a budget item. So to me, it just doesn't make sense.
One of the things there, too, I think you have to look at the bottom line, the total, and the percentage increase, or rather than itemized, because those items can be moved around, too, with the budget amendment as such, if you need it. I think we have to look at the total budget in each area. It's like an example, this past year, we were way over budget because it wasn't really predicted to happen with repairing vehicles for the Public Works Department.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need those, like you say, contingency, whatever you want to call it, for those extra costs. I mean, it just ballooned because all the equipment had been neglected to a certain extent over the years. So we didn't have enough budgeted in those areas. And so, as I say again, I think you have to look at the total rather than line by line. And I know what you're saying. It looks like you're not actually spending that. But if it's in there, and we once had a fire chief who argued that it is the total budget that we're looking at, and if we have to move things around, maybe we can't purchase the gear at this point. We'll use it in another area. And he was also looking at a surplus at the end that's extended into the next year. So I'm not sure that we can actually say that those line items should be taken out just because they haven't been used in the last couple of years. We've noticed a couple just tonight that they're now coming back and they will have to be used. I think it's the total we have to look at too. And I think that's important.
I mean, I don't disagree. The total is important. And I just question from a transparency perspective. If you know one of these vehicles is a diesel vehicle, doesn't use gas, it looks sort of odd to have a budget for gas for the vehicle. If you want that $3,000 as contingency, put it in the maintenance repair budget.
But if you purchase a vehicle that uses gas.
But you've allocated the specific lineup. That's another question I have. I think you go very specific into all the vehicles.
Well, yes, but you see, now again, that's another thing that the Public Sector Accounting Board that made us do that. That was going back now prior to 2010. We never did it that way, but they said now you have to allocate, and Roshan can speak to this, because I know you had a question about salaries under different vehicles and that. We have to do it that way. That's the way they've organized it now, so we have no choice in that. Roshan, maybe you could speak to that. It has to be allocated by vehicles, by buildings, and it's very complicated for us to even understand. It used to just be a total, but now that's the procedure they use, and you can blame the accountants for that.
And I do agree with you, Mayor Moore, that, you know, back in 2010, you know, there was accounting board, they wanted the cost allocated by the projects and by the specific, you know, the vehicles. So that's how they started doing it, and that's how we have been doing it the last, I mean, I don't know how many years, 20 years, I guess.
And would that be part of the Municipal Act? Is the Public Accounting Board?
Public Sector
Accounting Board? Okay.
Yeah. You can check in and see what they did back.
I'm just curious. It seems, just from your comments, you create a lot of admin work, confusion work for no value for the municipality.
The other thing you can check into at the time when we were hit with the Municipal Property Assessment Corporation, the way they changed everything there too. And it's quite an organization now, quite expensive that we have to pay into. They do the evaluations. They actually look at the assessment on our properties.
Yeah.
And we never did that before. So
yeah.
It was a conservative government at the time that wanted to update things that were really out of date, they thought. And so all of this seemed to come in together at that time. And so we're following legislation, whether
like it or not. But.
Well, that's good that you're following legislation. I'm very happy to hear that. thank you. That's all I had. I appreciate the time this evening. And I realize the benefit of the audio of coming in person, so you'll likely see me more in person because I don't see a line item on the budget for a new audio system for the council chambers, but it is very difficult to hear at top. So thank you very much.
Oh, we appreciate you coming and showing your interest, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So if council's not wanting to pass a resolution this evening to direct staff for the next version of the budget, can I propose to have a special meeting next Wednesday?
That's Wednesday time. What's that date?
Wednesday,